الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 23rd of February in the year 2019 alhamdulillah last night I began the subsection in which we are now discussing the glorious deed of salah and the last thing I mentioned was the various blessed reports showing the greatness of the two obligatory prayers in particular, i.e. the Fajr and the Asr. And I mentioned that our beloved messenger had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ صَلَّ الْبَرْدَيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ He who offers the two cool prayers will enter paradise. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. And also he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, لَنْ يَلِجَنَّارَ أَحَدًا صَلَّ قَبْلَ طُلُوءِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا يَعْنِ الْفَجْرَ وَالْأَصْرِ He will never go to hell who observes salat before sunrise and before sunset, meaning the Fajr and the Asr. So in these two flawless reports, paradise is guaranteed for those who guard the two glorious prayers. And then of course, another report mentions that you will be given a banquet for each of the prayers you attend. But conversely, our beloved messenger had warned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاتُ الْأَصْرِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُ If anyone neglects the Asr prayer, then his deeds are lost. This is in Sahih Bukhari, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Targhib number 302. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned now, مَنْ تَرَكَ If anyone neglects, I misses without an excuse. صَلَاتُ الْأَصْر فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُ The Asr prayer, his deeds are lost. And similarly, in another report, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Nasa'i Abu Dawud Tirmidhi ibn Majah, Imam Malik's Muwatta, Targhib number 303, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي تَفُوتُهُ صَلَاتُ الْأَصْرِ فَكَعَنَّمَا وُطِرَ أَحْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ He who misses his salat of Asr, is then as though his family and his property were snatched from him. Astaghfirullah. He who misses his salat of Asr is then as though his family and his property were snatched from him. So let's look at these two reports. So they're both recorded in Sahih Bukhari. So what does it mean? When our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone neglects the Asr prayer, his deeds are lost. All the ulama agree that the deeds that you've done on the day are lost. They all agree on that. But it depends, does it only mean that day? Some ulama said your entire lifetime of deeds are lost. If the Asr prayer is missed without an excuse. But in the second report, which is recorded in all six collections, Bukhari, Muslim, Nasai, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, also Imam Malik's Muwatta, the Prophet's wording is different. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alladhi tafutuhu salatul asr. He who misses his salat of asr. Faka'annama wutira ahluhu wa malu. It is then as though his family and his wealth were snatched from him. So here the Prophet is explaining the loss. If somebody was to tell you that your family has been kidnapped and you've lost your entire wealth, you'd be in a state of severe depression, severe anxiety. The Prophet said, missing Salat of Asr is just like this. Now why was he mentioning Asr? Why not Zuhr, Maghrib, Fajr? You have to go to the previous reports because Asr is one of the immense prayers. Specifically about Asr, we have a very interesting report. In Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i, Targhib number 294, Sayyidina Abu Basra al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu relates, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in the Salat of Asr at Muhammas. He then said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةَ أُرِدَتْ عَلَىٰ مَنْ قَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَدَيَّؤُهَا Verily this Salat was presented to the Ummah before you, but they wasted it. وَمَنْ حَفَظَ عَلَيْهَا قَانَ لَهُ أَجْرُهُ مَرَّتَيْنِ those he who guards it will get a double reward. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Sahih Muslim. So they were in a certain place called Muhammas. They offered the Asr prayer there. And then the Prophet said two amazing things. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This Salat, i.e. the Asr, was given to the Ummah before you. They wasted it. Meaning it was a gift. They wasted it. But what did the Prophet say? You will follow them. Inch by inch, yard by yard, we're wasting Asr. Then he gave you the glad tidings. وَمَنْ حَفَظَ عَلِيْهَ قَانَ لَهُ أَجْرُهُ مَرَّتِينَ. He who guards it gets a double reward. Note the Asr prayer again. The Prophet said it's a special prayer. And by guarding it, you're entitled to a double reward. Subhanallah. Maybe it was for this reason that we have the following reports. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Abu Ya'la, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 46 of the New English Translation, Anas radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who performs his Asr Salah and then remains sitting to dictate words of worth until the evening is better than the one who frees 8 slaves from the progeny of Ismail. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. So let's look at this. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged that you remain sitting after Asr until Maghrib. He goes, whoever does that to dictate words of worth, i.e. dhikr, that is better than the one who frees 8 descendants of Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam from slavery. Better. So what does that mean? 9, 10, 100. So why after Asr? Note again, the Asr prayer mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning not only is it a prayer, there's an auspicious time after that as well. Similarly, he mentioned Fajr. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 10, page 106, comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 47 of the New English Translation. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I prefer performing the Fajr Salah and then sitting to engage in Dhikrullah until the sunrise than racing a horse in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until sunrise. Subhanallah. I prefer performing the Fajr Salah and then sitting to engage in Dhikrullah until the sunrise than racing a horse in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until sunrise. So what's the reward of any jihad activities? The Prophet says even a moment, a short moment in the battlefield, you're guaranteed paradise. Wajabat. So what is the reward for racing a horse in the path of Allah for after Fajr until sunrise? You can imagine the rewards. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had a choice to do that or to do dhikr until sunrise, I would prefer to do dhikr. Now what's fascinating? Fajr and Asr. Go back to yesterday. Why are these two prayers mentioned? Why is there no hadith, for instance, mentioning doing dhikr after Zohr? Dhikr after Isha? Why Fajr and Asr? Because it's the change of shifts between the guardian angels and the two great prayers given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the scholars have differed. When should you do the protection duas? Some say after Asr because of the report. Some say after Maghrib. Whatever the case, just do them. Note also that in the word Fajr, the Arabic term of reward Ajr is present. Subhanallah, look how simple these things are, the scholars mention. What's the reward, what's the word in Arabic for reward? Ajr. Out of the 5 prayers, what has those 3 letters? Fajr. So a person goes, well, I'm not a scholar, brother, but does that actually give you a hint that there's a tremendous reward in Fajr? Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, whoever offers the Isha prayer in congregation, it is like he's prayed half the night. And whoever prays the Fajr prayer in congregation, it's like he's prayed the entire night. Hafiz ibn Khuzaymah rahmatullah alayhi said in his Sahih, Fajr is double the reward of Isha. So if you just pray Fajr in the masjid congregation, it's like you've done Tahajjud all night. There's the reward. Why is it called Fajr? He has the word Ajr there. Think about that. Previous Ummahs. Imagine hearing that, they'll be gutted. We had to pray all night and they're getting it for fulfilling, having a cracking sleep and just praying Fajr in the masjid. This is what Ibn Khuzaymah said. Some ulama said, no, they're equal. half the night for Isha, half the night for Fajr. But if you look at the wording of the hadith, it clearly indicates Fajr is double. Another thing which is mentioned about Fajr in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who prays Fajr in congregation is under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be careful. Now what does that mean? It means that if somebody prays Fajr in congregation, Allah Ta'ala himself is going to protect. So if you trouble him, who are you taking on? Why is that not given after Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib? Fajr is mentioned now. So note these two prayers, guard them, because they're given graciously by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at the Salat itself now. A very famous question people ask with regards to the glorious deed of Salat is, what is the most exalted position within Salat? So Salat is blessed from the opening takbir to the taslim. There's no doubt. All of it is blessed. But the question is, what is the best part of the Salat? Some ulama said it's the prostration, the sujood. Why do they say that? Few proofs. In Sahih Muslim, number 744, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ السَّاجِدُ. The closest a servant is to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he is in prostration. So this is explicit. The closest a servant is to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he is prostration. Akrabu, meaning the closest, qareeb. This echoes the Quran. In Surah Al-Alaq, Surah 96, verse 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem, wasjudu waqtarib, prostrate and draw closer. So look how interesting. In English, it's all out of the window, mate. What word does Allah ta'ala use in the Quran? Waqtarib. What did I just mention about that word? See, you should be listening, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ. He's using the same word. The closest, أَقْرَب, closest, قَرِيب, a servant is to his Lord is when he is in prostration. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَسْجُدْ وَقْتَرِبْ, prostrate and come closer, come near to me. And all of these fine points you miss because you're translating the hadiths. You don't even realize the Prophet is actually referring to a verse of the Quran. That Allah alayhi salam. Similarly, sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala occurs by all creations, the higher and the lower. Think about that. There is not a single creation that doesn't prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is this mentioned? In Surah Al-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 49, the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prostrates all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, of the moving creatures clinging to the earth and the angels, alayhi salatu wa salam, and they are not proud. They do this with humility. So think about that. In the Quran, explicitly, Allah Ta'ala tells you, all that is in the heavens and the earth, prostrate to me. Why does he mention prostration? So the ulama said, this is the greatest position, because if everything is prostrate, when do they prostrate? This universal prostration of creation is offered before the obligatory Zuhr prayer. In Tirmidhi, number 3139 is Gharib. Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, Mishkat, number 1177. Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu. He relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the four rakat that are offered after the zawal, the zenith, and before the zuhur prayer, are equivalent in virtue to four rakats tahajjud prayer. Indeed, it is in this auspicious hour that everything glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet then recited three verses, Surah 16, verse 48 to 50, which mentions that their very shadows also prostrate to their living Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at this. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, everything prostrates to me without exception. The Prophet told you the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's before Zuhr. Now why is that sad? Because people offer, they're so lazy, they don't even offer the four rakats before Zuhr. They do it after. And they don't even realize what they're doing, what loss is occurring. All the creations prostrating, you can't be bothered. That's what it looked like. That's how bad it is. Right? So you join the entire creation in those four rakats. You prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that beloved, it's equivalent to tahajjud. Even though you're offering a sunnah mu'akkidah prayer. But if you do it after, nothing. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is in this hour that everything glorifies Allah. Then he recited three verses. Surah 16, 48, 49, 50. I've already mentioned 49. That's the middle verse. Everything prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in verse 50, up to 50, it mentions shadows prostrate. Even the shadows prostrate. Now why is that fascinating? Because Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi said, the prostration of the unbelievers are their shadows. The only ones that don't prostrate are the unbelievers. But they do, because their shadows are prostrating. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that here, their shadows prostrate. Note therefore that just after the zenith, until the observance of the obligatory Zuhr Salat, is another auspicious but sadly most neglected time in which to worship our exalted Lord. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. All this is related to Salat. We don't just mechanics, yeah, they get it done, right? Right? If you realize what you're doing, you start tasting the sweetness of the worship. Imagine, you have that knowledge, everything's prostrating. And you do the takbir for the four rakats before Zuhr. It's not going to be like a person who doesn't know that. And when you go into prostration, how happy do you feel? Everything's prostrating, including me. And that's not even the Fard prayer. So what's the reward for the Fard? Right? So here, it's prostration, another proof. Another proof that the prostration is the greatest position. You gotta look at the word. When a road is described as mu'abbad, it means that the feet have made it straight and level. Likewise, when the servant sincerely prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes the most humble and submissive. Abdullah. So again, those who don't know Arabic, problems. What does Abdullah mean? Your servant of Allah. Jazakallah. Right. What does Mu'abbad mean? This is the root. He goes, I haven't got a clue with that. Right? Mu'abbad means you're talking about a road. But the road has been flattened with your feet. It's a well-trodden road, absolutely smooth because of the people traversing over it. Abd comes from that. What's the link? See, we're not living, you know, the Prophet didn't speak Queen's English. He spoke Arabic. Abd. So Abdullah means the truly sincere, humble servant. He's just full of humility. That's what Abd means. Now you ask, brother, what does Abdullah mean? Servant, brother. Servant of Allah. What is it? What is it, brother? MashaAllah. That's why we're in this day, because you're talking. Why don't you just say, I don't know? So Mu'abbad, servant. So now, what's that going to do with sujood? Sujood comes from the word as well. Prostrate. Aqrab. Draw closer. So therefore, there's solid proofs to indicate that the prostration is the greatest position. Which of the Imams endorses this? Imam Shafi. However, other scholars, rahimahumullah, they state that the Qiyam is great. Standing. Why? So let's look at some of their proofs. The Quran. The Quran is only recited in Qiyam, not in Sujood. You are forbidden to recite the Quran in Sujood. Plus, there's one proof. You can't even challenge that. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 238, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ and stand before Allah devoutly. Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention prostration. He goes, stand before me devoutly. Qanit. The third reason, in Sahih Muslim, number 1257, our beloved messenger explicitly said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afdolus salati tulul qunut. The most excellent salat is that which has the longest standing. He didn't say prostration. Afdolus salati tulul qunut. The most excellent salat is that which has the longest standing. This is actually giving the servants an incentive to memorize the Quran. Because how can you do a long standing when you only know Surah Al-Ikhlas? Right? You're losing out. Somebody goes, I'll keep reading it then. Right? The most excellent salat is that which has the longest standing. So who endorses this view? That the standing is the greatest position. Imam Abu Hanifa. Rahmatullah. There's a third view. Hafiz ibn Qayyim, he says, Rahmatullah, in Zad al-Ma'ad, volume 2, page 71 of the English translation, another group of scholars, Rahimahumullah, they say the best action is lengthy standing at night, whilst frequent ruku and sujood by day is better. They said that salat at night was called qiyam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muzammil, Surah 73, verse 2, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, Qumil layl, stand to pray at night. Allah ta'ala says stand, that's why he says Qiyam al-layl. In Sahih Bukhari, number 36, Sahih Muslim, number 1266, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. He who performs qiyam during Ramadan with belief and expecting reward, all his previous sins will be forgiven. When do you perform qiyam in Ramadan? After dua. Right? It's at night. This is why Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, we say qiyamul layl, not qiyamul nahar. People are so thick, right? You said to him, brother, have you done qiyamul layl? Because that tajid. Yeah, but I thought it was Taraweeh. It's also Taraweeh as well. Then he gives you that glazed look. Qiyamul layl, the standing at night. Don't you even know this much Arabic? Right? It encompasses everything. One brother says to me, he goes, if I do Taraweeh all night, I haven't got time for tahajjud. So I goes, yeah, you don't Qiyamul layl. And he looked at me with that glazed look. I goes, brother, it doesn't make no difference what you play at night. It's all Qiyamul layl. Right? So here, the middle view, third view, during the night, standing is better. Why? Qiyam. You understand? Qiyam. But during the day, ruku and sujood are better. There's a fourth view. Hafiz ibn Qayyim also said, Rahmatullah alayh, in Zad al-Ma'ad, volume 2, page 71 to 2 of the English translation, my sheikh, i.e. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said, Rahmatullah alayh, the correct opinion is that both are similar. Qiyam has a better quality on account of the dhikr reciting during it, i.e. the Quran. Whilst the posture of sujood is better than the posture of standing because you're closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, the Prophet's guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that when he stood up for salat for a long time, he then extended the ruku and sujood just as he did during the khusuf and night prayers. What did the Sahaba do when they were praying behind him? Because he stood and his ruku was the same length as his standing. Isn't that true? When his qiyam was brief, he made his ruku and sujood brief as well. That was his pattern. He practiced the same during the Fard prayers, according to Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, who stated that the Prophet's qiyam, ruku, sujood and sitting were near to each other in duration. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the best knowledge. So let's put this into Yorkshire. There's four views. Sujood is greater than qiyam. Qiyam is greater than sujood. Qiyam is greater at night. Sujood is greater during the day. And both sujood and qiyam are equal in virtue. Now why have I mentioned this? Are we going through fiqh? Subhanallah. Whatever the case, all praise and thanks be to him who has given us such priceless postures during such a most glorious deed. Think about that. this is why I'm going through it, highlighting. Well, it doesn't really matter. We're doing every position everywhere. That's how great Salat is. Afdalus, what is the best? The best is in the Salat. Salat is the best deed. Well, the scholars are discussing what's the best of the best. And look how they've differed. But each have got their proofs. Those consider to finish. The venerable Tabi'i Thabit al-Bunani's immense love for the glorious deed of Salat. Now compare this to our yearning. In Ahmad in his Zuhd, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 3189 or 3-155. Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf, 8-317. Abu Nu'im al-Hilya, 2-319. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, 7-233. Ibn Abi Dunya in his Kitab al-Qubur, number 132, Sahih. Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir, 5-222. Imam Sayyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi in his Shahru al-Sudur, chapter 36. Thabit al-Bunani, Tabi'i, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he would frequently make this dua, people heard him. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you give anyone the honor of offering salat in his grave, then I beseech you to give me that honor. It is related that on the day he passed away, Jubair, another Tabi'in, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created me, I put Thabit al-Bunani in his grave, rahmatullah alayhi, the day when we buried him. And with me was a person named Humaid al-Tawil, rahmatullah alayhi. And when we had finished putting the stones on the grave in the Lahad, one of the stones fell. And subhanallah, I saw with my own eye Thabit al-Bunani offering salat in his grave. So now this is why I give you references, because it sounds like too good to be true. So I don't want to bore you with the references, right? But it's a sahih hadith. So what dua would he make? Do you make this dua? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have given anyone the honor of offering salat in his grave, give me that honor. Why is it actually a humanist report? Because we're complete opposite. I can't wait to die. Right? Why? No more salat. Then you say, brother, you shouldn't say that. Right? They go, no, I didn't mean that, but I'm just telling you the truth. There's the problem. You just explained that salat is a burden for you. You have no love for it. So you've actually said, I don't love to worship Allah Ta'ala the way He's told me how to worship Him. Is that what you're saying? Second thoughts, right? So anyway, he's making this dua. He goes, don't let death stop me. Look how Allah Ta'ala answered it. He's dead. They've lowered his body. Now you work out how much time this takes. They lowered him 6 foot and they put him into the little chamber, the lahad. And then you put the stones, right, to cover the person. One of the stones drops out. How much time has elapsed? Just a couple of seconds. Okay, give it a few minutes if you're going to be technical. He's offering salat. So imagine, they just put him into the grave, shrouded. He's praying. What does that tell you about the barzakh? Oh, get comfortable. Have a cup of tea. Everything's kicking in before you can even think what's happening. Right? And the rock fell and the Tabi'een said, and he swore an oath, I swear by the one who created me, I saw him praying. And he goes, he was offering salat in his grave. And then what did he do? He put the rock there. Said, don't disturb him. Meaning that dua has been answered. Subhanallah. Compare this love, yearning for this most glorious of deeds with regards to many of us who consider it to be a burden and quickly go through the motions just to get it over and done with. Alas, what a deterioration and tragedy. Think about that. So what does that tell you? Salat is something which actually is showing your level of iman. When you say to a person who's got the strongest iman in the community, observe their salat. If he's going through it like he's in gym, has he got iman? That's the question to ask. But if a person's going through it steadily, you notice. Why? Because I'm going to explain. The Prophet said, this is a proof of a person's iman. How can you get to a stage where you love it that much that you want to carry it on in the grave? Because they valued it. They learned about this deed. And whatever Allah Ta'ala loves, They loved. Allah Ta'ala loves Salat. So what do you think is going to happen? They're going to hate it. And they were actually thinking in the grave. He's probably still praying now, 1,400 years later, 350 years later, still probably praying in the grave. How many generations have gone? He's still probably praying out of love. But the amazing thing was the quickness. That's what shocked me. He was, if he had said, I saw him set up, that would have been shocking. He's not only sat up, shrouds have probably gone, he's wearing clothes of Jannah. He's praying. Right? Allah, and look how much he loved that. He probably got the interrogation done very quickly. He goes, yeah, thank you very much. Right? Let's go and pray now. But there is a hadith which gives us some comfort. The hadith is in Ibn Majah. And when the interrogation angels come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of the servants says, let me pray my prayer. Because he actually thinks the sun is setting, it's dark. He actually thinks, he said, the Asr finishing or Maghrib. And the angels say, no. Just answer the questions. Because don't worry about that. Now what does that tell you? That if you have a connection, even at the most traumatic moment of your life, when you're getting interrogated, you still remember Salat. Think about that. Can there be a more traumatic time than that? When the interrogation angels come breathing over you. And you actually say to them, let me just pray my Salat first. That's a clue that Allah Ta'ala is going to make that person successful. Why? Because Salat means everything to him. I don't care what's happening around me. But if you haven't guarded your Salat, good luck, mate. That's all you can say, good luck. Right? So note Thabit al-Bunani, and what do we know about him? Thabit al-Bunani, I'll mention a few things, rahmatullah alayh. He was the servant of Anas. Anas, the servant of the Prophet. So look how touching. The servant of the Prophet is praying in his grave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith in Ahmad in his Zuhud, authentic, he said to his teacher Anas, he kissed him on the eyes once. He goes, these are the eyes that saw the Messenger of Allah. Then he kissed him on the hands. He goes, these are the hands that pledge allegiance to the Messenger of Allah. Thabit al-Bunani, rahmatullah alayh. He would finish the entire Quran in one rakat. This was his practice. And sometimes he would read one verse all night. So there was two practices he had. One, sometimes the entire Quran. Sometimes he'd just be lost in a verse. He had immense love for Salat. But now people, imagine, they even ask him, why are there five prayers? SubhanAllah. So all I discussed today, again, was the glorious deed of Salat, talking about the various blessed postures. But whatever the case, the entirety of it is truly priceless. And then I mentioned some of the, of course, times of virtue in which we should reflect upon, not waste those precious moments. And I mentioned a bit about the great Thabit al-Bunani, rahmatullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa wasbil sabr, sadaqallahu alazim.